Welcome back to part two of the first Supercoach Coach podcast of 2016. Thanks for your patience. I know this is not quite out on time and our social media game hasn't quite been on point yet, but Mark's just, he's got two young kids and I'm adjusting to a new job. So there's just a little bit of time pressures, but hopefully we'll iron that out as the season gets going and we get a bit of a groove going. So again, thank you all so much for your support. Thanks for your patience. And enjoy the show.
All right, so we'll move on to the midfield now, and first one to start off with Nat Fyfe, 124.28. Looks shaky this year because of injury concerns.
Yeah, look, they've said that he's going to have his back injury for the rest of his career. So I guess he's always going to be a concern, a bit like Deledio, but then he's always probably been a concern in the last few years, and he's just that good that he might be fine no matter what. Very, very tricky selection on Fyfe. I don't think I could start with him, but it's going to be very painful not having him.
And the next one I have to talk about, second top averaging.
Danger, man.
Oh, with a little bit of doubts on Selwood coming back from round one, I got to say, I'm so thankful. Sorry, Adelaide supporters, but I'm so thankful to see him potentially burst out of packs and wearing those blue and white stripes, because I think our midfield will be crumbling without that sort of contested beast. But in terms of Supercoach point of view, 119.9, it was a supreme season for Paddy Dangerfield, and he has moved clubs. There is a bit more uncertainty in terms of whether or not Selwood will steal points away from him or Duncan, and there's uncertainty whenever a player moves clubs, and when a player's averaging maybe like 110 and he could move up to 120, things are a little bit different. But when you're at the peak of your powers in terms of Supercoach average, then you're a little bit worried that potentially the way is perhaps downward. Will he not fit in immediately with the game plan? And Paddy has not traditionally been the fastest starter either, so I understand he may be in your team though, Mark. Where do you sit on him?
I would say that I don't think he's at the peak of his powers. I think that he will average more than 120 at least one of the next three seasons. I don't think that's a very big call at all. He is an absolute superstar, and just at the peak age, and if Geelong go well, he could completely destroy it. 50-50 for my team at this stage. My wife's listening and nodding her head. He's the first pick for her team.
Nice. I like that, Mel. All right, the last one we want to talk about in the midfield, G. Ablett. Of course, there's so many midfielders, premium midfielders to talk about, but we have to cut it somewhere. And I think Fyfe, Danger, Ablett are the big three, so let's do those. And Ablett, yeah, of course, last year, injured, only played the six games. We started with him last year. It was a big toss-up. We all kicked ourselves for doing it. All brought him into our team, and then he got injured again. It was a season of heartbreak from Gary Ablett, which we don't normally experience. So, bouncing forward into 2016, he's priced at 115.5 is peanuts for G. Ablett. Is he an absolute lockety lock?
As long as he's not injured going into the season, like, he could not train for the next 2 months, not play any NAB, and I would still pick him.
I agree with you there, and I don't think that needs much conversation. He's at such a tasty price point that as long as he's rocking up on field, he will be so hungry to reestablish himself as the best, potentially tuck away another Brownlow medal while he's still at a good age.
Yeah, so I hope he gets one. He deserves it.
Yeah, oh, he, as a triple Brownlow medalist, one of the all-time greats, that would be fairly exciting. So I think we're all aboard the G. Ablett train. Hopefully you are too. But of course, we've been major supporters of him throughout his streak, Mark.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the midfield show as well, because there's a lot of other juicy options there too.
Definitely. So we'll move on now into the rucks. Of course, there's not too much point in discussing the ceiling or basement for the midfielders, because we know that's where the top scoring and best players are. But onto the rucks, and who actually topped last year's scoring? Gee, Toddy Goldstein. I mean, wouldn't be a Supercoach show without mentioning him, apparently, because the amount of times we talked about him last year, just drool everywhere. We locked him from the start, Mark. I didn't.
I traded him in after round one, I think.
Okay, I locked him from the start. I thought I just added you in there, but you didn't know. You don't deserve that credit. I locked him in from the start.
Pretty sure I finished, way higher than you last year.
Yeah, but, I called Goldstein. Way more of an accomplishment, let's be honest. Anyway, Goldie, 128. And as a result, is the most expensive player in Supercoach 2016. He's priced at $695,000. That's Gary Ablett-type numbers. And he beats the next highest averager by 18 points, who's Stefan Martin. Toddy Goldstein, 128. Is he worth the dosh?
He doesn't remind me of Ablett's price. He reminds me of Dean Cox's price. Complete outlier that you absolutely have to have in your team if you're going to be any chance of winning the competition. That's where my vibe towards Goldstein is at the moment. Yeah, I mean, he's an alternative captain choice. I think that the whole Essendon situation has just made me even more likely to pick him because there's going to be more or better rookies available. More locked in my team.
He is also in my team, and I think he's worth the cash because I think the captaincy option is a great one you bring up, and he is underrated almost as a captaincy option, which is crazy. But as a ruck, when you are coming up against a ruck line that's demolished, Toddy Goldstein was one of the most reliable, like 150 type scoring players last year against weak opposition. And
a rucksman's not going to get tagged. Goldstein cannot get tagged out of a game.
Yeah. His big scores are relatively predictable, which is crazy to say in modern football because there's so many variable factors. And because of that, absolutely agree. Dean Cox reference is a good one. Absolute superstar. So
who comes number two is going to be very tricky, though. There's going to be, I think this is going to be one of the key pressure points of the season because there's going to be a lot of variation. There's, I mean, Martin, Jacobs, Mumford, Blitzars, Nick Nat, you could make a really good argument for any of them. Then you've got like Lobby, Leuenberger, a few other cheap guys. Yeah, this is going to be a big decision.
To be honest, Mark, I think that second position's not even going to be defined by average for the season. I think it's going to be defined by injury status. So I'm hoping my number two just bloody stays on the park and we don't have any trade issues because I don't see, you know, a huge difference between, you know, Blitz. He averaged 104 last year at sixth highest averaging, and Martin averaged 111 at the second highest averaging. So that gap's quite small considering it's a two-position field and there's so many options. So I just want somebody who's going to stay on the park. So somebody like Sanderlands potentially looks a lot worse, even though he did manage 21 games last year. Mumford, who's perennially injured, is obviously stricken off the list, even though, you know, he's fifth on the list.
Yeah, you'd think that he's probably second in scoring potential. You could see Mummy pulling out 120 average over a good stretch, but that injury history is going to make it tricky to pick him.
All right, so we'll move off the rucks and into the forward line now. Interesting that we get a few new additions, so I guess we might as well bridge into, you know, that DPP changes as well now. Toby Green, Michael Barlow, Lee Montagna, they're the most notable midfielders who are now available in the forward line. And so the top two averaging forwards at the moment, Brett Delidio, 112.82, and then next up is already Lee Montagna at 111. There's a little bit of a chasm until Dusty Martin, but he, of course, still had a good season last year, 105.5. So Delidio last year was one of the standouts. He obviously had a bit of injury concerns, but when he came back, Mark, you made the astute decision to bring him in your team, and I was kicking myself for the rest of the season not following that lead.
Smart.
It was very smart. So let's talk about Delidio as the number one from last year. Do you think he's worth it?
I'm feeling deja vu here. Like, every preseason, Delidio, he's got fitness problems, he's not doing all the training, he's still got these knee tendonitis or whatever's going wrong with him this year. But he always seems to get there, and he always seems to... I mean, last year was the first time that he had to have a few weeks off to actually fully recover, but he just always seems to get up, and when he plays, he just scores insanely well. His game is so well suited to Supercoach, and now with Richmond having Cochin and Martin drawing some of the attention away from Delidio, he's not in my team at the moment, but I could very, very well see him continuing to average 110 plus again.
Yeah, I really like the point you made there about Cochin and Martin sealing the tag. Obviously, Martin's didn't see his emergence of his consistency really meant that he's almost perma-tag now because he's so dangerous and he's got such skill and potential. And obviously, Cochin was really influenced by the tag last year. And as a result, a lot of taggers were sent to him. So even when a team had two taggers, Delidio almost still got free. And a big part of his scoring last year was always finding avenue through goals. He always runs to very good spots and he always rely on him for one, two, you know, and in games that he scores four goals, it's an absolute monster game. So it's going to be hard to pass on him, except for the fact that in the forward line that there's just so many decent options as there are every year.
Really, really elite talent as far as Supercoach goes. Just everything he does scores so, so well.
I'm tempted just to pass on him just on the pure fact that, like I said, I don't like paying top dollar for players, and in a field as tight as the forward line, I always get tempted by a little bit more value. Like, could Dalhouse break out or something like that? But Delidio is just so consistent that he might just edge it out when it comes to, you know, final selections before lockout. So hard to call that one still. Let's talk about the new forward midfielders, though. Toby Green, Michael Barlow, Lee Montagne. Montagne obviously has the best scoring history over time. Barlow's really not that far behind, and Green arguably most future potential. So who do you like out of the three of those?
Probably Barlow, I think. Montagne can have really up and down seasons. He's pretty inconsistent from season to season. Also getting older and just played 18 games last year, so that would really worry me. I think if he was 550 as a forward, just even that small difference might make me a lot more inclined towards him, but paying top dollar for him seems very risky, and I feel like you'd get him cheaper at some stage throughout the year. It was good to see Green play every game last year, but his scoring went way down. He was 20 points down from 2014 to 2015, averaging 82.
I definitely noticed there was just so much competition for midfield points at GWS. And I think Adam Treloar leaving really opens up a big opportunity for Toby Green to establish himself as a high-scoring player and, you know, one of the top midfielders for GWS again.
Okay. Yeah, I hope that's right. I really actually like watching Toby Green play. I had him in his rookie year in my Supercoach team, and that was really fun. Even still, you've got Kelly and Whitfield and a lot of other people that haven't been, but players that are like top couple draft picks that haven't been having many midfield minutes that are going to want to step into that Treloar spot.
That's true. That's very true, Mark. There's still uncertainty over who's going to be the absolute top line 1, 2, 3, 4 and who gets the most minutes there, I guess. Anybody else in the forward line that you want to talk about? Lance Franklin, potentially, 87. I mean, you know, he isn't one of the top averages, but he certainly has that sort of potential in the past. Of course, we've got Harley Bennell moving over to Frio. He averaged 102 in the end last year. And in terms of consistency, really started to impress, I thought.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Dalhouse, who surprised, averaged 104.45 by the end of the season and was in the top six averaging forwards for the year.
All of those are very, very interesting selections. Bennell's probably the one at the moment that interests me the most, but he's struggling with injuries over the preseason and always has in so far in his career, so probably won't be there come round one. Buddy, I don't know whether I could ride that train again. It's been very up and down over the last few years, and I'm not, for some reason, just not a massive Dalhouse fan.
He was a nice POD for me last year in the end, so I'm a big fan of him. But I think I agree with you on Franklin. And gone are the days where we're light on for forwards and we used to take some risks on a Pavlich type. And you know, but I don't think we need to take those risks now. We're debating Delidio, Bennell, Green, Barlow, Montagne, like legitimate midfielders in the forward line. And so gone are the days that, you know, you need to take a risk on Franklin. Having said that, the potential is there off a massive preseason, you know, who knows, could get sucked back in, but at this point he's off my list, and I agree with you. I really don't think I could ride that train at the moment. So we'll go on to the last two DPP changes I have here. Jared McVeigh in the back line and Jimmy Bartel also available in the back line, both as DMs this year. They're both obviously a little bit older, but in terms of talking about consistency in the back line, which has been a problem in the past, and scoring potential, they both have that in spades. So where do you sit on both those players? Are they, you know, DM locks that you chuck into your team early in the preseason, or are you a little bit more reserved about them at this point?
A very, very good chance I'll start one of them. I think that the history of starting these guys that are maybe a bit older, midfielders that have been moved into the back line, has generally been really good. Like, that's had a pretty high success rate. I mean, you think of Hodgie last year. And I think McVeigh the year before we did it, we've had success with Bartel in that spot before. So feels like going back to the well a little bit. I feel very concerned about Bartel after how badly he burnt both of us last year. But that's not really a reason not to pick him. He showed that he had... We picked him for really good reasons, I think, last year, and then he got injured, so...
All right, so that wraps up our DPP and top averaging player talk. Before we go for the show, and it's already been a little bit overshot what we were hoping to do for this first preseason, so we hope you enjoyed it nonetheless. Our locks for the first episode of 2016, obviously very preliminary, but like we said, it did work out well last year. Most of them worked out pretty well. So, Mark, why don't you kick us off in the back line?
So I think we've talked about players that we're pretty keen on. Like I said, that I was really keen on Heath Shaw. I think that the player that I've got locked at the moment is probably a bit of a weird one, but I really like Daniel Rich at 436,000. I think he is a midfielder playing in defence. I think that it takes a lot of pressure off him as you're picking him in defence. I didn't even pick him at 300,000 last year, but that was as a midfielder, and I think it's very, very different positions. So if you could get a 90 average out of him playing back there, I think that'd be a really, really good pick. So he's my early lock.
Wow. That's a courageous one, Mark, because it's rare that we have mid prices as locks unless we're very, very certain about them. And Daniel Rich has been a little bit sketchy in the past. So I like the guts that you've shown with that pick. And I have been a noted Rich fan in the past. I pushed him probably a little bit too hard last year in terms of how much I brought him up. But
I may be looking for the key to remove that lock at some stage in the preseason. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah. Mine is, a little bit more obvious. Yeah, we talked about him already. So Jimmy Bartel, back available in the back line. He obviously came off an injury-affected year last year, but the talk was he was getting more midfield time. Obviously, this year with the inclusions of Scott Selwood, Paddy Dangerfield, and Duncan hopefully being fit and stuff like that. I don't think Bartel will play as a midfielder. He'll have a little bit more flexibility in his position. He'll be a bit more of a utility player, but I think that I don't predict the end of Bartel scoring yet. I think last year, obviously, it was injury affected, and so you can almost wipe that off a little bit. And so, based on his price point, averaging 87 for the season last year, I think even if he works out to be relatively disappointing at 95, which I'd consider disappointing for Bartel,
that's a good pick.
Yeah, that's still a really good pick. That'll put him in the top six defenders. And so I don't think he has to improve very much to get there as a good pick. And of course, DPP is an added bonus. Yeah, job security, obviously very good, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, Bartel's my pick very early on. But yeah, we like those DMs. And McVay, unfortunately, as a new DM for 2016, is priced a lot higher at 100.55. So Bartel becomes my pick. Into the midfield, Mark, who do you have?
I think the really, really obvious one is Ablett, but I'm going to go with...
Thanks, mate. Stealing my thunder.
Sorry, mate. But I think that everyone would realize that. I'm actually going to go a triple lock. I think that pending injuries, every single competitive team should have Ablett, Rockliffe, and Liberatore in their team.
Okay. Wow, that's big calls, mate. Well, big calls because it's a triple lock and we only have eight positions. But I suppose when you look at those players individually, they all present a heap of value for season 2016 and have shown themselves to be absolute top line scorers. So, yeah, I think that's a relatively brave but still, quite a good call.
I feel way more confident about that than I do about my Daniel Rich call.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully they stay injury free and, yeah, they do look like good picks at this stage of the season. Mine was just G. Ablett. Already pumped him up before, but last year we were throwing up whether or not to bring him into our teams, considering his injury status and stuff like that. But this year I think it's an absolute no-brainer. As long as he rocks up on day one, just chuck him into your team and see how he rolls. But I like the Rockliffe pick, Mark, even though he burnt me a lot last year. He's clearly established himself as a strong leader and wants to establish himself as a top-tier midfielder. And last year, even with all the injuries that he kept sustaining, he rocked up with broken ribs and still smashed out some pretty damn good points. So I think that those are all good calls from you, Mark. Into the rucks, I think we've already mentioned this one. Goldstein's my lock. I'm assuming yours too.
Yep, absolutely. Lock him up.
Set and forget in the rucks is always a pretty good strategy, especially for at least one of the two. It's good to have some level of security with only one sub position in the back in the rucks. In the forward line, Marcus is a little bit more interesting and arguably the most challenging position this year, considering the multitude of options.
I think defense, for me personally at this stage, is actually a bit more challenging than the forward line, but my lock is Dustin Martin. Pretty vanilla, pretty boring, but He's still young. He's still improving. He's showing that he's getting better. He was better last year. Richmond are improving. He manages to play pretty much every week. He is, yeah.
King of the chopsticks.
I wouldn't want to go out with him, like in the city or anything. But he pretty good Supercoach player.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. He's always one that we put on our list every year and almost select him every year because we go, gee, that guy could average 120. Like, that's his upper limit. He's an absolute freak. And so that's a pretty good call. Like you said, a little bit vanilla. But mine's a bit more, it's a little bit riskier, but it's also, he should do pretty well. And I think Gooden presents strong enough a case to present as a lock early on, and that's Michael Barlow. We've seen him average 110 in the past, and
twice.
Yeah. Fife's a little bit injured. Mundy's getting even older. Barlow is arguably in the best spot out of the three of them this year. So 93.64 is a very low point to rebound from. Available in the forward line, also, you know, mid forward. I think of all the three guys, you mentioned it before that we talked about Green, Barlow, Montagna. You had him as number one, and I think I have him as potentially number one lock at this point in the forward line.
Wow. I think the 93 is his downside.
Yeah, absolutely. So I seem presents to me at least as a fairly no-fail pick so far this year. I see him going from at least 100 to potentially back up to 110. So,
and that'd be crazy good.
Yeah. So he's my lock, and that wraps up our first show, Mark. We're done already.
Welcome back, mate.
Yeah, it's been great to chat.
So
with
many
you.
Big decisions.
So many. Plenty of tweaking left for the rest of the season, obviously.
I'm seeing people on Twitter posting, like, this is my team, probably won't change my premiums between now and the start of the season. Like, yes, you will, buddy.
Yeah,
yes,
you will. You will. You haven't been like playing enough years.
In a week.
Yep. In a day. In 2 hours. All right. I'll catch you again. Are we going to do this again next week, Mark?
I'm not sure. I don't think that we were booked in for next week.
Not next week? Okay.
I think the next show was going to be once the footy we came around, wasn't it?
Ah, okay. All right. So we'll catch you again when the NAB gets going and we get a little bit more information under our belts. But that's our preliminary show for the season 2016. Thank you so much for tuning in to our first episode for season 2016. We have already, you know, quite a few people asking us on Twitter, when are you back? And sorry, we've been a little bit slow on social media, but, you know, Mark got really two young boys. I've just started a new sort of job. So we'll be trying our best to be active on social media and keep you updated. And again, massive thank you. We'll catch you again very shortly.
See you guys. See you, Marcus.
See you, mate.